Need more time? Want more from your business and your life? Welcome to the Simple Life Habits Podcast, where you'll learn how to work less, do more, and live your life with greater focus. Now, here's your host, Jonathan Milligan.
Do you often feel like your life is in fast forward? That you wish somebody could just push the pause button and slow everything down? Well, today we're going to be talking about developing the art of slowing down. And I'm fortunate to have recently sat down and had a conversation with Jeff Goins. He's written a fabulous book that we're going to talk about. I'd encourage you to pick up. It's called The In-Between, Embracing the Tension Between Now and the Next Big Thing. We talk about several concepts in this interview, but really I want you to grab a hold of the art of slowing down. So many times we're focused on that, the next climb, that next thing that we want to get to, when sometimes the joy in life is the in-between stuff. And we talk about relishing the in-between times instead of resenting them. And maybe that's you. Maybe you haven't learned the joy of embracing the pauses in your life, because we spend a lot of time there. And so I want to jump into this conversation, but I really want you to grab a hold of some of the tips and the strategies that Jeff shares with us. If you're able to write a few of these down, that would be great. If not, try to write them down whenever you get to a spot where you can. So with that, we're going to jump into the conversation, and then I'll fill in some information at the end. Today, we're going to talk about living life in between the panels, celebrating the average moments in life, and just learning the art of slowing down. And for those listening, I recently had the opportunity to read Jeff's new book while I was on vacation and loved it. In fact, if you haven't seen it yet or heard of it, Jeff's new book is called The In-Between, Embracing the Tension Between Now and the Next Big Thing. You know, Jeff, one of the things I really enjoyed about the book was the natural flow that it seemed to have. I mean, you're teaching some life principles, but it's through the lens of sharing your own personal story, which I think is great for really connecting people with you and your message. And I really love the mental imagery you shared at the beginning of the book, when you talked about life between the panels. Could you take maybe a moment and just explain what that means?
Sure, yeah. Well, when I was a kid, I used to read comic books. And comic books, for those who aren't familiar, you know, are not animated. They're books. And they're very succinct expressions of a story. And the way that the story moves along is through a series of action panels where, you know, you see, like, Batman punching the Joker, and then the next moment there's like the next panel says, you know, kapow or something, and then the Joker is lying down on the ground in the next panel. And so it's this idea that we're only going to show you the frames, the panels, the moments that are the most significant, so that you get the general flow of the story, and so that we can, you know, have something that's not 1,000 pages long. And you know, that works for comic books, but it doesn't work for life. Most of us find ourselves, you know, on a day-to-day basis, not necessarily doing something epic or amazing. And I wrote this book to help people understand that those moments in between the panels, in between those major exciting experiences in life, those moments are significant too. And in fact, they may be the most significant moments in our lives because of the growth that happens during those times.
Why do you think it's so difficult for us, you know, when you're in between those panels, you're just kind of in the average ordinary, and you've got some hopes and dreams and goals and all this stuff that you want to happen in your life? Why is it so difficult for us in general to just wait or even just pause in life?
Well, I think we're impatient. I think that we want what we want, and we want it now. And I think in many ways our culture celebrates this and encourages it. I was just talking to a lawyer not too long ago, and he was talking about how he sees something in especially the generation behind him, kind of in the you know 20 to 30 something generation, where they come into a law firm, you know, and within 6 months they want to make partner. You know, they're not just aggressive, they are unrealistic in their expectations and assumptions of what they deserve now. And so I think that we're seeing this not just with a certain age demographic, we're seeing this with people in general, you know, because we can, you know, microwave food and get instant high-speed access to the entire world via the internet, I think in some ways we're just less patient. And so we think, yeah, when it comes to doing what I want to do or living my dream or having the best job or even, you know, best relationship possible, I want that now. I need to be happy now. And nobody wants to hear that, yeah, you can get everything that you want. It's only going to take 50 years to get it. There's just there's not a lot of patience, I think, in our culture for that. The problem is when you don't strive, when you don't work real hard, when you don't put in the time, when you don't have to wait for the things that you want, you tend to value them a lot less.
Hmm. Yeah, that's true. I've got so many examples of that that I've seen even in my own life or even with my kids right now, teaching them that. You know, there was a couple of quotes that particularly stood out to me that I just want to highlight for a second. One of them, you said, quote, "What if we fell in love with the in-between times, relishing instead of resenting them?" And I guess the follow-up question would be, how do you fall in love with those in-between times in life?
Well, I think that anything we do, we're practicing something, right? And so if you take your iPhone to the bathroom every time you go to the bathroom because you want to maximize productivity, you are practicing never being able to be still. And so the same thing that drives you to, you know, bring your iPhone into the men's room or the ladies' room is the same thing, I think, that's going to cause you to want to pull it out while you're, you know, playing on the playground with your kids, because doing one thing seems inefficient. You know, it seems like a waste of time when you could be doing more than one thing. So, you know, how do you learn to relish instead of resent the in-between? Well, one of the things that you have to do, which doesn't sound super enlightened, is you have to practice it. You have to practice being still. You have to practice doing nothing or just being present to where you are. And frankly, I'm not disciplined enough to do that, so I have to force myself to do it. You know, I have to ditch my iPhone at the end of the day by, you know, putting it in my dresser drawer so that I don't, you know, check it when I feel it, you know, vibrate in my pocket or something. I don't even think about it because it's not a, you know, it's not right in front of me. I'd have to go out of my way to go get it. Or, you know, I take a walk with my family, and again, I don't bring the phone, so I won't be tempted to check it. I put myself into situations that require me to be a little bit more still and a little bit more present than I am naturally inclined to do. And while I'm doing that, even though I'm forcing myself into that situation, I'm practicing doing life differently. And my theory and in my experience says that if you do that enough, it starts to get into the fiber of your being in a way that eventually becomes more natural.
Hmm. You know, that earlier this summer, like if I had to go back and think about the highlight of my summer, it was taking my family on a camping trip, and we called it a no technology trip. We left our iPods behind, our MacBook Air, the iPad, I mean, all of it stayed home. And for 3 days, we just tried to see if we could make ourselves bored. And
yeah.
It was awesome. I mean, it was a great, incredible experience for all of us, you know, with playing board games or just learning the joy of a bike ride or paddle boating on the lake, or my son's picking up guitar, playing guitar. And it was just what I needed. And especially working on the computer, blogging, writing, you can often feel at times, I know for me, I shut things down once a week. On the weekends, I have a 24-hour technology fast that I do. And it's like I need those times. And it's hard because we just want to be plugged in all the time. But it's so important and vital for us.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And I love that you had the goal of making yourself bored. I find that when I do that, because technology is a part of, can be a part of everything that I do, that I welcome those times. And so the difficulty for me isn't being in that space, it's getting to that space. You know, it's not being out in the middle of the woods or in the middle of a technology fast. It's you know, being intentional about like shutting it down or putting it away, because, you know, it's I'm sure I'm the only one who does this, but when you're watching a movie and you know, and you're trying to, you know, hang out with your wife or something, but in the back of your mind, there's like five things that you didn't do today. And you just think, well, yeah, like I could just kind of open the laptop and take care of this while I'm watching the movie and trying to, you know, spend time with my wife. And we forget that there's a cost to that, you know, that the more things that you do, usually you don't do that. You don't tend to do them as well. And anyway, for me, I welcome those times. It's just the struggle is getting to that point where I go, okay, yeah, I'm here, and I'm going to shut out every other opportunity to try to maximize productivity and just be here now.
Yeah. Well, you just nailed me. I mean, that you just described me most evenings. Yeah. I mean, there's that pull for me to pull up my laptop, you know, the movie's running, whatever. So yeah, I just completely identify with that feeling. You also said later on in the book, quote, "Perhaps the abundant life we've been seeking has little to do with the big events and comes in a subtler form, embracing the pauses in between major beats." You know, we've talked about it a little bit earlier, but I see this a lot just with my own friends and neighbors. And we live in a world that pushes us into the fast lane. How can we develop this discipline of slowing down? You referenced it a little bit earlier, but is there any other tips you can provide to just developing that discipline?
Okay, so to make things practical, there are three things that I do on almost a daily basis. The first thing is to go for a walk. Usually in the morning, it can be at lunch or in the evening, but I try to do it first thing in the morning just because I don't, you know, once it's done, it's done, and it tends to affect my perspective for the rest of the day. Not for the sake of exercising or, you know, doing anything productive, just walking, you know, for 15 minutes around the block and noticing things that I would normally rush past, like my neighbor's flowers or, you know, the caterpillar, you know, climbing and eating all the leaves in the trees. Just little things, and not spending a ton of time doing it, but just breaking up my day, creating a little bit of space, usually at the beginning, to notice things that I wouldn't normally notice, so that I approach the rest of the day with eyes open, you know, for what's going to be revealed to me, and I'm not just rushing to the next thing, because you can spend your whole day rushing. So that's the first thing I do. The second thing is I try to cook a meal, and this doesn't happen every day, but I try to, you know, make a meal by hand, you know, without any sort of microwaves or anything involved. Not because I'm the world's best cook, but because there's something about actually being present and mindful of cooking something that you're about to eat. And it doesn't have to take a long time, although sometimes, you know, it'll take me an hour or two to make a meal. And I try to, you know, set aside time to do that on the weekend or something, so it's not stressful. But there's something about when you lift the fork to your mouth and you know all of this intention went into creating this, you tend to savor your food a little bit more. So I go for a walk, I cook a meal, and the last thing I do is on a fairly regular basis, probably a daily basis, I ditch technology for at least an hour or two, sometimes an entire evening, sometimes just a lunch break. And, you know, for the person listening in like Amish Pennsylvania, like maybe this doesn't sound, you know, very novel or groundbreaking, but it is for me, somebody who can literally be tethered to technology from the moment I wake up to the moment I pass out, checking email one last time on my phone in bed. It is a welcomed respite to, you know, leave my phone in the other room while my wife and I You know, just spend some time together or have a meal or even, you know, watch TV or something, which, you know, I guess is a form of technology, but I'm just trying to get away from the internet. And when I do that, I always come back to my work refreshed, filled up, rejuvenated, ready to dig in. And when I'm constantly going from email to phone call to blogs to this, to that, I just feel exhausted all the time. And so those are three things that I do to get filled up, to get inspired, and to just create some space in my life for me to think, for me to pray, for me to just be mindful of my surroundings and in turn be more grateful.
Great. And those are some good practical suggestions that these listeners can take away and start adding. I know I've always enjoyed an early morning walk.
Yeah.
Wrote a blog post about 2 years ago about the benefits of an early morning walk. And it continues to be something I enjoy. Even if, like, just this morning, I spent about a half hour on the back porch. We've got a lake and some woods in the back. And my wife and I just sat there and we were just admiring some of the wildlife that was coming in and flying around. And it just felt good. It's like I knew I needed to get up and get moving on my day, but I just enjoyed that, you know, 30 minutes. It can be incredibly helpful for us to do that sort of thing. So
yeah,
those are great suggestions.
Love that.
Kind of wrapping things up, maybe talk a little bit about the slow down challenge that you're doing on your blog. I've really enjoyed that.
Yeah, so, you know, these three things that I was telling you about, this is kind of the common question that I get in response to this book that I wrote, as well as this idea of slowing down, of taking our time with things. And so I thought, well, like, let's take a week, let's take 5 days, and, you know, so work week, and let's spend each day approaching our lives with one practical thing that we can do to be more present to where we are, be more mindful, be more focused. And so each day I'm delivering a daily lesson and then a practical challenge associated with that. And so the first day we talked about noticing things that we wouldn't normally notice. And I said, go for a walk this morning. And it could be 10, 15 minutes, or it could be, you know, 2 hours, whatever your schedule allows. But if you're too busy for a 15-minute walk in the morning, you're too busy, you know? Like, you need to be able to step outside your front door and enjoy the scenery for a few minutes before rushing on to the next thing. And when you do that, when you take time to, walk around with no, you know, without multitasking, you tend to appreciate what's in front of you. So these are just a series of challenges, and this will I'm going to turn this into like an email mini course thing so that people can join at any time and go through the challenges, you know, at their leisure. But what's been cool about it and my hope for it is, after doing this for 5 days, for some people, it's going to create the beginning of a habit of just being more mindful and more present to where we are, which is something that I think more and more people are hungry for.
Yeah, and for those listening, if you want to join in on that or you want to see what Jeff is doing, you just go to coinswriter.com. That's G-O-I-N-S, writer.com, and you can participate and see what's going on. So we've talked about this book, The In-Between. Where can these listeners pick it up? I know you've got it in several locations. Where is the best place to go to learn about this book?
Yeah, great question. It is sold wherever fine books are carried, which basically means everywhere. But if you go to inbetweenbook.com, you're going to, you know, read reviews about it. You're going to find out all the different places to buy it: Amazon, Barnes & Noble, IndieBound, if you want to find a local independent bookstore. And in addition, you're going to find a free excerpt of the book, and it's actually like the first 60 pages. And the book is only like 160 pages, so you get like the first third of it for free. Hmm. And I thought, you know, I really had to push the publisher to do that. But what I wanted to do was give away a good chunk of it so that you get a decent impression of whether or not you'd like to, you know, spend any money on it. And if not, you hopefully just get to read some cool stories, and those are free.
Great. Awesome. Well, listen, thanks so much, Jeff, for joining us over here at Simple Life Habits. I think this is definitely a topic that the listeners can connect with, and just spending time talking to us. Now you've kind of re-challenged me to slow down a little bit. I think we all need to.
Yeah, well, thank you, Jonathan. I love what you're doing, and it was an honor.
Okay, welcome back. I hope you learned a bunch, just like I did, from that interview. I know I've been, at times, trying to work this idea of slowing down into my busy schedule. We all need to. So my challenge for you is to think about applying at least one thing that Jeff talked about. Maybe it is just simply starting an early morning walk. Maybe it is learning to shut the computer down at night and disconnecting from technology. Maybe you need to do a 24-hour technology fast every week. Or if you have a high technology family, high-tech family, maybe you just need to go on a camping trip for 2 or 3 days or for a weekend and just totally unplug. It's good for all of us. Whatever that is for you, I just hope that you'll take the challenge of slowing down, and not just slowing down, but learning to embrace the in-between times in life. Because when you look back on your life, you're going to see that there was a lot that you learned during that time. There's a lot of special memories, moments of that in-between times. And we're not just going to celebrate the mountaintops, but we're going to celebrate every single step in the journey. Well, that's it for this episode of Simple Life Habits. Thank you again for all the listeners who just continue to provide positive feedback. We hope that you are enjoying these weekly podcasts, and we have many more guests that we have on tap, as well as more tips and strategies for working less, doing more, playing a little bit more, and enjoying the relationships in our life. So until next time, go out there, do something small. It just might make a big difference.